It is a sacred time, this, and a sacred place, this. It is a place for questions more profound than answers, vulnerability more powerful than strength, and a peace that can pass all understanding. It is a sacred time, this. Let us begin it together in song. In the center of our service, in the center of our lives, let us make room for life's quieter sides. You may use these first moments for lighting candles of memory and hope, or just sitting quietly, remembering who you are and why you are here. Let us join in an attitude of prayer. We give thanks for fathers, for those men who have had the character and the courage to grow through the tough transition from manhood to fatherhood, we give thanks. For our own fathers, whether or not we think they were the best fathers, we give thanks. We would not be here without them. And at their time, in their shoes, they almost certainly did the best they could. We give thanks for fathers who have never met their offspring, but have not forgotten them. And for those men who wanted to be fathers, but could not. We open our hearts to fathers who have lost children, to chance events, disease, accidents, to war. We open our hearts. For all the many ways in which men grow from manhood to fatherhood, we give thanks for fathers on this Father's Day. Amen.
Men are very different from women. You can write that down. When I was preparing to do the Mother's Day service a month ago, I posted an invitation on the UU Parents group to any mothers who wanted to join me for lunch. I had lunch altogether with 12 mothers, three lunches, and talked to two or three more who called or left emails, and all had a lot to say about motherhood and its trials and its joys and the rest, but all had a lot to say. When I posted the same invitation to ask men to join me for lunch, only three responded. The women had bet me this would be the case. So the four of us had lunch together. And then I checked the internet for articles on fatherhood and advice on fatherhood to see what the style of it was and how it differed from the style of advice given to mothers. And it differs substantially. There's a lot of it. If you Google the word fatherhood, you can turn up over 6 million sites. The talks with the men were very different than the talks with the women from start to finish, and we commented on it during the lunches. The women were often concerned with losing their self, the sense of a professional, competent, respected, independent self that they had learned to earn growing up in liberated women's times, learned to earn in school and in the workplace, a self that was rewarded when they did well, that got promotions, got raises, that had all the external rewards that you could get. And then the baby came, and they felt drawn into a motherhood role where there are no raises, no promotions, and very little recognition outside the home, and even a lot of guilt induction coming from other mothers. They felt they were losing their self, and that was an important battle for them. None of that talk came up with the men. And I think the reason is most of the men still work, so they still have that self. They still have the professional self that gets promotions and raises and gets recognition for work done. And what they're trying to do at home as they learn to become fathers is a very different thing, leading to just the same place. We talked about tasks and functions and duties and things to be done and what needed to be learned. And it began sounding like a bunch of guys in the workshop talking about how to use tools and how to build boxes and tables. We were talking about functions, and it seemed to be the most natural way to talk about them. That sounds like it's a completely different subject, but it isn't. It's just a different approach. What I found, and what I found in virtually all of the writings that I'd read on fatherhood written by men, were that they are after exactly the same picture that the women's authors and the mothers were about. They just do it in guy talk and talk to men in ways that men can understand better. That was one of the biggest revelations for me in doing this. And I think some of that will come through today because it's what I want to do. I want to take you through the first 12 months of parenting in guy talk. When I asked what the best thing about fatherhood was, every single father talked about the amazing relationship with his child, and every father teared up while speaking about it. So this isn't just about mechanics, and it certainly isn't impersonal. The transition from manhood to fatherhood, I think, is one of the hardest that men will ever face. And not all couples can make it through the tough times ahead. One study says that one of the most likely times for a marriage to fall apart is following the birth of the first baby, when almost 70% of couples report a decrease in marital happiness. This is tough. That's also one of the several reasons that 39% of the children in the United States now live apart from their father. It's hard. It's just very hard. And men don't often get credit for being good fathers, even when they are good fathers. I think one of the most poignant stories that I heard, and I actually heard it from one of the mothers, was about her husband, who's a doting father. And when he takes their daughter out shopping, he buys the clothes for her. He likes this. One of the highlights of his week is the day that he gets to take his daughter to Target to shop for clothes. And virtually every time he does that, women, mostly women, come up to him in Target and say some variation on, "Oh, so you got stuck with babysitting." When it's your own child, it's not called babysitting. It's called parenting. But since men approach this whole subject differently, and they don't talk about it as much, 3 verses 15, I want to frame it very differently this morning. I'm going to frame it differently than I've ever heard it framed, and in a way that I think fits like a glove, but is different. I want to talk in terms of tasks, tests, functions, and tips for fathers, how to. And I want to say that this transformation from manhood to fatherhood is a kind of modern hero's quest. And it fits the structure of mythic hero quests in almost every detail. You're in a wilderness, a strange new land, and you need help. You need more than the tools of a bachelor or a newlywed. And there is a fear you can't even begin to express, a fear that you cannot do this. A fear that you will not be up to the task, that you won't know how to slay the dragons when the time comes, the dragons that men must always slay in their hero quests. In mythic hero quests, the heroes get help from gods, guides, mentors, and the wise people who always appear in these stories and without whom they couldn't make it through the quest. Almost no one can do this alone. In Star Wars movies, for instance, these were the roles played by Yoda or Obi-Wan Kenobi. They're the special guides that help you get through the hero quest. In The Lord of the Rings, it was Gandalf and the elves. You need to know you're not alone and that you can do this, but mostly you need guys to help you. You need, in the real world of learning to become fathers, the costumes aren't as colorful as Gandalf's, But there are still some special helpers and wise people. It may be your own parents. It may be special mentors you've known. But in the internet age, you can also pull up about 6 million websites for fatherhood, and that pales in comparison to the how many? 9 million websites that you can pull up for Gandalf. And the winner, 15 million websites for Yoda. And I'm betting most of the people who check those websites are men. There are all kinds of Gandalfs, Yodas, Merlins, and wizards and elves out there. There are therapists, counselors, speakers, bureaus, even a Christian man who homeschools his own 7 children and speaks to your group for $1,500 plus expenses with Bible citations as he goes. There are sites to help fathers of all imaginable styles and flavors. There are sites with tips, how-to advice. One has 10 tips for fathers that even sells t-shirts with them. And there's a site called Toolbox Tips. Only men would put together sites like this. It's wonderful. And the Army has websites with tips for fathers, a lot of them taken from the Toolbox site. And the Army website tells fathers to take care of themselves, to work with their wife, to redefine their relationship as parents, to forgive themselves for not being natural or perfect at this, assuring them that they can learn everything they need to know and that it's within their reach. That's good stuff. This is the kind of stuff that the Yodas and the Gandalfs always try to tell the heroes. It's also the same kind of thing that women authors are hoping for when they write books on motherhood and relationships. Now, not all those who give advice are wise, just as great myths are dotted with tricksters and demons, but many of them are. And I was struck by the fact that men talk about this in such different ways than women authors write from others. Men are being helped to build a new persona, one with increased communication, creating a new relationship with their partners in a functional step-by-step how-to way. They want tips on what to do. And one advisor, a pediatrician who calls himself Dr. Bill, adds this very male bit of advice that really stopped me when I read it. He said, "Here's some father-to-father advice. Watching a man nurture a baby really turns a woman on." I thought, only a guy would write that. But then I remembered in talking to the mothers and having lunch with mothers in the church and reading the books by women, the same sentiment was expressed. When women talked about how foreplay got redefined as doing the dishes and how the sight of a man helping nurture a child was a turn-on. It's amazing. But father-to-father tips struck me as a new way to do it. The notion of a hero's quest, as many of you know, came from mostly Joseph Campbell's 1949 book, The Hero with 1,000 Faces, and the 6-part video series that he did with Bill Moyers from that book in 1986 called The Power of Myth. A hero ventures forth, he says, from the world of common day into a region of supernatural wonder. Fabulous forces are there encountered, and a decisive victory is won. The hero comes back from this mysterious adventure as a larger, more deeply authentic man. Now, this comes through the hero's trials and tests. You've seen this plot in movies over and over and over again, including the important test of slaying dragons. One must slay dragons. What are dragons? They're usually symbols of our fears, of our past, symbols of a present world that must be transcended in order to grow into a bigger world, to grow from manhood to fatherhood. The dragons are very tough dragons to slay, as we'll see, and they're scary. But he doesn't have to do it alone. We have those helpers hanging out here and there. We have the modern Yodas, the modern Obi-Wan Kenobis, elves and Gandalfs all around. And nearly all the modern Gandalfs talk in men talk. But the effect is to build a bigger character and a bigger man. It's really a hero's quest. So I want to take you on this adventure, on this hero's quest through the first 12 months of fatherhood, talking to guys. There are functions to learn, and there are some dragons to slay along the way. One of our Gandalf therapists begins by telling us that when the woman becomes pregnant with their first child, there is good news and bad news. Make a note. The bad news is the relationship can never go back to the way it used to be. The good news is that with time and patience, your relationships as a couple can become more intimate and satisfying. It just takes growth. But that's what a hero's quest is about. Men don't like to ask for directions in fathering much more than they like to ask for directions in driving, because we've all been raised to believe that we're supposed to be in charge and that weakness is unmanly and unsexy. We're afraid we won't be able to do this, and that's a threat not just to intellectual capacity but to manhood. It's a scary threat. So other Gandalfs bring out research to assure us that whichever parent spends the most time with the baby will become more sensitive to the baby's needs. And we have couples in the church where the father is the one who has spent the most time with one of the children and is the one who understands that child better than the mother, and vice versa. So it's something that can be learned. And men will need to learn some of it from their wife, which means scheduling times to talk this strange new world over so they can get through it together. That's a lot like talking about feelings and intimate things. And ask any man, that's a dragon. And it's a tough dragon. It's unnatural. It doesn't come easily. It feels awkward. Men feel inept at it. They feel like they're going to be foolish and weak and unattractive. That's a dragon. And Obi-Wan Kenobi comes out to say, we need to know. We can't be expected to know how to do everything. Allow yourself to work as a team with your partner on this adventure. Teamwork is the key to getting through this first year. I think all women authors on motherhood would agree. Then right off the bat, in the first month of these 12 months, dear little Yoda says, do not, by what you don't know, embarrassed be. And Obi-Wan Kenobi translates this as, give yourselves permission not to know everything. This advice often takes the place, I was wondering what this advice did on the hero's quest. This takes the place of the horsemanship and swordsmanship exercises that mythic heroes had to conquer. These are the tools for this battle. Others say during the first month, these are tips. Learn how to comfortably hold your baby. See that you have, I love this one, it's such a good guy thing. It's one guys can react to immediately and say, all right, I can do this. See to it that you have a comfortable rocking chair for your wife to nurse the baby in. Say, all right, I can find a rocking chair. I'll get a comfortable rocking chair and do this. Also, says Gandalf, you can help your wife by cooking suppers. I can't tell you how many times I came across this in the books written by women and the talks with mothers. Here are men writing to men saying the same thing in guy ways. And when you cook suppers, they point out, don't be embarrassed by what you don't know. In the second month, continue to hold your baby as much as possible. Find time when you can be with your baby without distractions. And with your wife, the two of you together, give your baby a bath. Talk about what your baby seems to need to make him comfortable getting washed. Tell your wife what you appreciate about her mothering. Find time when you can take the baby and she can just take time for herself. Every woman author I read would cheer at these suggestions. And try to find other new dads to talk to about the transition to parenthood. Over and over, the Gandalfs and the wizards are saying, don't do this alone. There are a lot of us out here to help. Don't do this alone. During the third month, Yoda says, exhausted, are you? Normal, it is. New dads need to recognize how emotionally weary they've become, making all the adjustments to their new lifestyle. And of course, so do new mothers. I remember a therapist father confesses, feeling when we went out as a family, it was my wife, our baby, and their pack animal, me. Me, the pack animal, carrying all the stuff we now needed to take with us. What can you do during the third month? Well, it's a list. Take a walk together as a family. See if you can have the baby in a front pack that's on you. Talk with your wife about each of you getting 20 minutes to yourselves in the evening. That came up at every discussion with mothers. It's amazing how important it can be. Find time to walk the baby by yourself. Use this time to appreciate how by caring for your baby, you're making a very important contribution to her life. And see if you can leave work 10 or 15 minutes early and just have a cup of coffee by yourself. Take care of yourself. During the fourth month, Obi-Wan Kenobi says, you start to notice that there is a change in your sexual relationship with your wife. It is very normal for this to happen and for people to have nervous laughter when you mention it. So if your wife feels sexually withdrawn but too concerned about your baby, things are going naturally. Maybe it's easier to hear Yoda talk about this. Intimacy must more than sex be. For many new dads, the early months of fatherhood provide a challenge to expand their understanding of intimacy. Many new dads find it difficult to talk about sexuality with their wives. I encourage you, says Obi-Wan Kenobi, to talk about the sexuality in your relationship with your wife. As you go through life as a parent and adult, there may be many conversations you have with your wife about changing sexuality in your relationship. Now, in case you hadn't noticed, this is a huge dragon. Redefining intimacy to expand it beyond the fireworks and frameworks of courtship and early marriage is one of the hardest and most mature things any man can ever attempt to learn. It's very hard, and it's hard for men to talk about. It will take a platoon of Yodas, Obi-Wans, Gandalfs, and elves, because it's not easy. It may be the biggest dragon out there. And then, say the elves, take time to get a massage in a sauna. Take a walk with a friend and let him know what you've discovered about being a father. Don't do it alone. Another fact to know is that during the first year of parenthood, it's usual for a new father to reflect on how he was raised by his own father. Sometimes this is enjoyable. Sometimes it brings up more old dragons. Now, in the fifth month, Gandalf says, find 5 minutes a day to talk about how the day went for your wife and you. And you might plan a video film festival at home. You might enjoy comedies about family life right about this time. No one I read suggested watching television together. It was surprising how many suggested renting videos or going out, but not watching television. In the sixth month, talk with your wife about the different styles of parenting that you experienced as children, because now you're becoming aware of the different styles of parenting the two of you have. Conclude your discussion with a commitment to work out the way you'll work as a team, together, or as Yoda puts it, better than one or two. Ask your wife to talk with you about what she loves and hates about being a mother for the first 6 months. Share the positives and negatives you've learned about fatherhood. This is hard to do. Then the elves say to make sure you're eating well and exercising. It's important to take care of your health, and exercising, they say, will reduce stress. Stay active in your baby's care. Give him a bath. Put him to sleep. And notice how you feel after you've done this. The seventh month begins with this advice from Yoda. To yourself kind be, forget this not. The therapist says to find a Sunday morning to go out to breakfast and have a leisurely time together with your wife. Then come here to church. Okay, I added that last part. And find a babysitter so you can be alone for at least 2 hours a week. Alone together. Make sure that both you and your wife are getting time alone. You each need time to recharge. At 8 months, Obi-Wan says, you recognize how time-consuming it is to have a baby. Now, if you're really quick, you might have noticed this earlier. Talk with your partner about what you feel are the biggest adjustments you each have to make as parents. But you see what you're doing here? You're learning to make this new role of father relate to the new role your wife is playing of mother and establish a role not just between man and woman or lovers, but also between lovers who are fathers and mothers. This is the transition that's going on in hero quests and all kinds of transitions like this. In the ninth month, the elves say to take a look at your body in the mirror. Are you taking care of yourself? This is a dragon to slay, and don't lose yourself in your role as father. A tenth month tip is to take turns sleeping in to try to keep up on your rest. And then during the 11th month, you're preparing for the conclusion of the hero's quest when you've redefined yourself as a father and your wife have redefined your relationship as both parents and lovers. You may need to make time to see if you and your wife can quit being parents for a few hours each week and be a couple again and get that habit started. This is good tips to list advice. Moving back into a couple's relationship is the key task of the 11th month of fatherhood. You've defined yourselves around your child's needs, and now it's important to begin to look at your relationships not just as parents, but as partners. Obi-Wan says, see if you can't take the lead and ask your partner how she wants the two of you to grow as a couple as you approach your first year of parenting. See if you and your wife can find a weekly activity to do together, something that you can continue over time and that you both look forward to. Begin to think about your baby's first birthday and what friends you want to be there for you. And at the 12th month, plan the first birthday party. This is a big deal. And see that your baby's first party is as much a celebration for you and your wife, you and your partner. The words wife and partner keep coming up throughout these, and I think I've just strayed to using wife, but it's more complex than that. But plan the first birthday party as a celebration for you and your partner for making it through the first year of parenthood. Gandalf says the first year of fatherhood is the most profound change you have gone through as a man. There have been many changes you, your wife, and your baby have gone through over the last year. And you're near the end of the hero's quest. So I want to go back to Joseph Campbell. Wherever a hero has been born, he says, the place is marked and sanctified. A temple is erected there, a marker. For this is the place where a man became a hero by slaying the dragons of his smaller self and helped give birth to a larger soul. a soul big enough to hold the new functions and the new love. What's becoming a hero mean today? It's the task, as Campbell put it, of making it possible for men and women to come to full human maturity through the conditions of contemporary life. It isn't otherworldly. The birth of a baby floods a mother and father with many new tasks, often overwhelming them. The role of fatherhood seldom comes easy for a man. He must learn these new functions, build a bigger self, learn to build a bigger kind of relationship with his partner. But it isn't about mechanics or carpentry. It's about building a bigger home for the spirit of life. It's about building a soul big enough to hold the new love that grows with the birth of a child. That love that takes men to tears even when they try to talk about it. A bachelor, a regular young married guy, couldn't do it. Only a man who's been through the hero's quest and slayed the necessary dragons can do this. At the end of the first year of fatherhood, you've really become more than a father. You've become a hero, man. The kind of hero that can help save a new life, redefine a marriage, and transform our world one father at a time. And temples, markers, and birthday parties are erected to mark this spot just as they were in the mythic days. A baby just learning to walk is a marker. The hard miracle of a husband and wife who are beginning to reclaim their relationship also as lovers, that's a marker. And people around you can feel this transformation in you. They'll feel it when they're around you. Like ripples in a pond, it carries the message, here something whole and courageous took place. Here a hero was born. You're more than just men, guys. You're heroes. Happy Father's Day.